Well, good morning. Welcome to worship. I'm glad to see you out. Hopefully you survived. I don't know if any of you got woken up by the rain last night. I think it rained pretty hard at my house, at least woke me up at least once. I don't know. I kept feeling like there was big gusts of wind going by. But anyhow, I went back to sleep. So just a few announcements this morning. First of all, I've had this thank you card on my desk a couple of weeks. I've had it up here on the podium a couple of weeks. I keep forgetting to read it. It's just a thank you card from Lori and I. Just saying, church family, it's been exciting to see you grow this past year. Thanks for all the support through the ups and downs of life, especially this last year. And thanks for the Christmas gift at Christmas. So this is my Christmas thank you card. I'll post it in the back. You can take a look at that if you'd like. Like I say, I've had it up here a couple of weeks. I just keep forgetting to bring it to my to your attention. All right, so some announcements. We will have a Bible study tomorrow. We're in 1 Kings chapter 5, beginning at verse 1 tomorrow. 10 o'clock. I'd love to have you out here for that as we're going through Kings, and Solomon is now on the throne, and so we're seeing what's going on as the baton is passed from David to Solomon. All right, now, there will be no prayer or no Bible study the following Monday. Lori and I will be out of town. We're traveling to Tucson first this year on Thursday. That's February 1st. And then up to Denver, and then we're coming home from Denver on February 9th. So be praying for us. It's supposed to be raining some in Tucson when we're there this time. We've never been there without good weather, so it'll be an experience to be there with some rain. All right, let's see. No prayer meeting for the next two Thursdays, again, because Lori and I will be out of town, so we won't be around. The calling tree is being updated. You'll see that, so get your information to Ginger if it's changed. They would also like to add email addresses. So if you have an email address and you'd like to add that to the calling tree, let Ginger know. And if you have a cell phone and you'd like to get texts, you know, let her know that too. And so then we can have more ways to get a hold of you when things are going on. Now, you'll see in the bulletin, Jerry turned 102 today. All right. So if you didn't send her a card, you still want to. We left the address in there. Again, just an amazing birthday for 102. So send a card over there if you haven't already. The other announcement that didn't get made in the bulletin is Cape and Springs Fire Department is having a luncheon today. It might have just started already at 11. I'm not sure if it runs till 2 or 3 o'clock. 2 o'clock? Okay, so you got to get there before 2. I'll try to have you out of here before then. But so if you're hungry after church and you want to go up to the volunteer fire department, I don't know exactly their menu, but I've heard it's extensive. So anyhow. Oh, okay. So it's a breakfast. All right. So breakfast for lunch. That's okay. I could live with that. All right. You'll see the newsletters here. So again, my vacation's in there. There's a Bible trivia question. If you know the answer, don't shout it out. Got to send it in to find out what the answer is. I haven't looked it up yet, so I'm not quite exactly sure. I'll see if I can't figure that one out. And Snacks for Hospice, we are late on getting this announcement out. And the only thing that reminded me was I saw it in the Hampshire Review, maybe you saw it too, that they're collecting snacks for Valentine's Day. It's sneaking up on us. Really, they want them delivered by the 6th, so you really only have till next Sunday to drop them off. Now, we used to make cookies, but a couple years ago during COVID, they went to prepackaged snacks. They've decided that actually works better for them to just have stuff that's store-bought and prepackaged, mainly because they last longer. Okay, that's what they last longer and stay fresh. And so if you want to bring some prepackaged snacks next week, we'll get those delivered over to hospice somehow. All right? Take care of that. That's all I can think of there. Look at the birthdays and stuff. You'll see stuff going on there. Men's breakfast is on there. There's a change in the time. We're going to meet for men's breakfast at 8 o'clock instead of 7:30 because, you know, we need our beauty sleep, and so we're trying to get an extra half hour. All right, so we'll be there at 8 o'clock instead of 7:30, but we'd love to have all the guys out for that. We do have quite a few of prayer stuff going on. Ruby, you know, like on the praise side, Ruby's cousin Maxine is home now, so that's a huge praise. LaRue LaRue's in rehab, but she's doing well. She's progressing. She's hoping to be home in the next 10 days, maybe we'll see. But she's doing well and is actually in good spirits. Harry is home now. He's recovering well. He's not here this morning because he is trying to stay inside and kind of be safe until his shoulder is healed. But I saw him this week. He's doing well. Ethan and Patricia got married here at the church yesterday. It was just a really joyous time. You know, everybody just really enjoyed the wedding, and they are definitely, a couple that you could see was just full of joy yesterday. So we're praising the Lord for that. That really is an answer to prayer. On some of the stuff that we want to mention this morning, you'll see the ones that are on here. John Haynes, who's like in the middle, that's Ginger's brother-in-law. He is home now, rested well last night. Most of his testing came back pretty good. The oncologist is still a little concerned about this mass that's on his aorta, so they're going to do a little more testing because they're not quite convinced that he doesn't have cancer, but most of his tests came back good. In the meantime, he does have AFib right now, so that, of course, is making him feel really tired. So continue to pray for John. Lisa Orndorff got diagnosed with COVID, yesterday or the day before. Is it Friday?
Friday.
Yeah, Friday. So she's got 102 fever, not feeling that great. So be praying for Lisa. This is her second bout with COVID. Jared Dolly down here, down the road here, is in the hospital and not really doing that well. So let's be praying for Gerald as the doctors seek to try to figure out what's going on. Scarlett and Charles, it's Seifert?
Seifert,
okay. So Charles fell and got a small fracture in his shoulder. And they, when they did the x-ray, they found some fluid on his lungs. So just be praying for them. It looks like maybe they're thinking about moving into assisted living, but those are big decisions. So be praying for them to be wise about what needs to happen next. Charlie McComber's not here because he's got a cough at home. You know, it's going around. And so be praying for Charlie as he seeks to recover. And then the last thing I want to mention is that I got a text this morning. I'm not sure if Ginger got a text also. So Marion Billings let us know that Lauren, and if you were here on Christmas Eve on the candlelight service, Lauren was here with her parents. They're from Chicago. Lauren goes to college in Cornell, so she's Grace's age, maybe 20. She got hit by a car last night walking. I'm guessing somewhere on campus or in town up in New York. She was flown out to the trauma center in Pennsylvania. Apparently, though, the only major concern right now is she had a compound fracture in her leg, and so she's in surgery this morning for that. So just be praying for Lauren and the family. I'm sure her family is probably on the way to the hospital from Chicago, and I'm sure Phil and Monica have her on their heart, too. So we'll be praying for Lauren as well. Yeah, yeah. So let's run that after church. So we'll run the prayer chain for Lauren after church. Anybody else? I have not talked to Dan recently. Okay, so Connie Loy's wife passed away.
I think her name is Diane.
Okay, I'm pretty sure her name is Diane. Her funeral's tomorrow, you said. Okay, and Dan Salisbury had a heart attack and is currently in rehab. And Dan is still in Colorado, correct? Okay. All right, anything else? Oh, yeah, update on your mom? All right, so that's a real praise, yeah. That's a real praise that this wasn't as serious as they thought. That's great. All right, anything else? Okay, well, let's quiet our hearts before the Lord. Let's go to Him with any issues you have right now that would keep you from totally committing your heart to Him in worship. He accepts us as we are, as we go to Him. He will meet us right where we stand. All right, as soon as I sat down, I realized I forgot the missions offering. And I'm the one that brought the jug up yesterday to set it on the table. So let's just take a minute to greet one another this morning, to drop some money in the missions offering. Again, we're using this for local individuals that are in need of financial assistance in various ways. But we also use some of this to spread the gospel far and wide, supporting missionaries and children in the world. So let's take a minute to say hello. Well, let's stand together. The Lord longs to have us in His presence, worshiping Him. He accepts our worship through the blood of Christ. Hear the Lord's call this morning from 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Let's pray. Lord, we do lift up our voices in praise of You, the only God, the one and only God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the last. No one is eternal except for You. You have created all that we see. You have taken care of us each and every day. And so, Lord, as we come into Your presence, we thank You for who You are to us and who You are in Your own being. And so we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll take your hymnal and turn to hymn number 122 as we sing of something the Lord is worthy of. Crown Him with many crowns. 122. be seated. What a great reminder that the praise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will go on forever and ever. Amen. Well, I want to read you, I know we're in the New Testament, and I like to find something in the Old Testament to read when we're in the New Testament, but I picked another New Testament passage for our reading this morning from Acts chapter 10. So if you're in your pew Bible, turn to page 1092. We're in Acts 10, beginning at verse 34. If you're in your own Bible, find the Gospels, move to the right. You'll find the book of Acts, almost in the middle of Acts, maybe not quite. Acts chapter 10, we're going to begin at verse 34. This is the account of the Gentiles hearing the good news of the gospel. This takes place after Pentecost. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear not to all the people, but to us, who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. And then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. You know, even in the time of Jesus, the purpose of the mission of Christ was to bring the gospel to all nations. Now, that doesn't happen until after the ascension, after Pentecost and after the ascension. But even while Jesus was here on earth, we see little glimpses that the gospel would go to more than the Jews, and we'll see that in a moment in Mark. Well, there's a lot to pray about today. Again, our list is full. We'll lift these up to the Lord, and we'll pray with a hope, with an understanding, with a confidence that the Lord hears us, because we know that he does. We've seen him act on behalf of those we've prayed for. We'll expect him to do the same this morning. Let's join our hearts together. Lord, again, we come in praise of you and of your glorious power and of the freedom you exercise to use that power wherever you will. Lord, we come to you and praise you because your knowledge is complete, far-reaching. You know all things. Your timing in answering our prayers, perfect. And so we praise you for your perfection and for your power and for your willingness to hear us and answer. Lord, we praise you for the answers that you have given us. We praise you that Harry is home and doing well. Lord, we praise you that LaRue is receiving treatment and healing and expects to come home soon. Lord, we praise you for the answered prayer of marriage for Ethan and Patricia and for the blessing of Iris. Lord, we just lift these praises up to you and acknowledge that you are the giver of all good things. We praise you that John is home now and resting well, and that some of his reports have come back much better than expected. Lord, you are a God who answers. And yet, Lord, there's still more going on. We are shocked that Lauren has been hit by a car. We just put her into your hands, Lord, and we just pray that you'd be working even now to restore that leg to a place where it can be healed. Lord, give the doctors wisdom. Encourage Lauren that even in this dark providence, that you are there with her, carrying her along. Give her parents traveling mercies, I'm sure, Lord, as they travel from Chicago. Help them to be calmly aware of your presence as they try to reach their daughter. And Lord, we think of Lisa, who's tested positive for COVID for the second time and is even now with fever. Lord, again, we just pray that you would touch her and heal her. Let the medicines work. Let her body respond appropriately, and let this COVID be dealt with. Lord, we think of Dan, who's had a heart attack. Lord, as he's in rehab, restore him to strength and carry him along. For Jared Dolly, who's in the hospital and not doing well, Lord, we would ask that the doctors would have wisdom to be able to reveal what the issues are and to be able to deal with them and to deal with them quickly. Like for the Lois family, Lord, as they grieve over the loss of Diane, Lord, be a comforter. Surround that family with those that would be able to come alongside and walk the dark path as Connie grieves. Lord, I just pray that you would be tangibly real in that family's life. For Charles, who fell, Lord, and needs healing, and for his wife, Scarlett, as they seek to know if they need to move, Lord, we would ask for wisdom, that you would just help them to rationally work through the pros and the cons and come to a decision that that would help them to live well together and in the world. Lord, we don't know what that is, but we know that you know, and we know that you can make them know. And so we pray that that would be so. Lord, we praise you that Maxine is home. We praise you that Tom's mom is, the issues aren't as severe as they thought it was at first. We just pray that that would just continue and that the recovery would go quickly. And for Charlie, Lord, and we know he's just got this crud that's going around, but we pray that you would be working even in something that maybe is simple for us. Maybe it seems like not a big deal, but Lord, we know that you care about the sparrows. You care about the big things and the small things. And so we lift these up to you. We pray that you would work. We pray that we would have eyes to see you work. And we pray that our lips, Lord, would praise you for the work that we see you do. And now, Lord, we join our hearts together, praying the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples as he taught them to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, the Lord is our Savior. The Lord is our God. The Lord is also a friend close to us, ready to come alongside us, comfort us, lead us, feed us, take care of us. So let's grab our hymns and turn to hymn number 397 as we sing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. You can remain seated. 397. Reminding us of how powerful, how comforting, how great the work of prayer is in the life of God's people. Well, it's time for our offering this morning. I think it's interesting. The title there is Wasted Years. Isn't that interesting? Have you ever thought about this idea that you've wasted time? That the Lord has called you to be generous to Him, and you've spent that time, that talent, ability that you have to serve Him, and you've wasted it. Well, you can make a change today. You can make a change today by committing yourself to give freely to the Lord that which He desires you to give, not just of your money, but of your time and your talents. Try Him, test Him, see if He won't respond to you 100-fold in the ways that you respond to Him. So I'd ask the men to come and accept our offering this morning for the Lord. Let's stand together. Lord, you are so gracious to continually care for us, to watch over us and provide for us. Give us all that we need. Accept this offering as a sign of our willingness now, Lord, to commit to you our time, our talents, our abilities, our very lives. Take them, use them for your glory and for the building of your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Well, we are marching through the Gospel of Mark. We're all the way up to the last part of chapter 7 and moving into chapter 8 a little bit. So if you want to turn your Bibles there, the page number for the Pew Bible is 1002. In your own Bible, just find the Gospels. It's Matthew, then Mark. Mark chapter 7, we're going to begin at verse 24 here in a second. I have a question. Have you ever watched one of those Bachelor or Bachelorette shows? Let me be clear, I do not watch those shows. But occasionally I do see a commercial for one show or the other. You know, it used to be a pretty straightforward show, right? There was either a Bachelor or a Bachelorette, and then there was 10 contestants. I think it's 10. And then a bunch of weeks figuring out which one to choose to be your lifelong partner. Well, after a few years of this format, I noticed a change. Like I said, I occasionally see a commercial or two, right? One year, right in the middle of this contest, deciding who you should pick, they brought in someone who had been there before, right? Someone who had been let go, and they gave them a second chance. And in the commercial, I just remember seeing the shocked look on the faces of these six other girl contestants that were left as this earlier girl got reintroduced to the Bachelor. They didn't like it. They didn't like it at all. No. Now, have you ever been on a team, in a group of friends, maybe a work group at work, maybe even on a ministry team at church? Everything's going along fine. Everybody knows their place. Everybody has their job. And then a new person shows up. A new person shows up and they change the dynamics of the group. They, in some sense, upset the cart, right? And maybe you think, hey, we were fine without them. You know, in our passage this morning, Jesus is going to leave Jerusalem. He's going to travel to Tyre and Sidon, and then to the Decapolis, and finally back to the east side of the Sea of Galilee. These are not lands in Israel. These are Gentile territories. Now, it seems likely that Jesus traveled there to get some relief, right, in the midst of the pressures of ministry, to maybe get away from the Pharisees, at least for a little while, maybe to hide out from Herod for the moment. While Jesus is there, though, he's visited by a number of Gentiles. A woman with a daughter possessed by a demon. A deaf man who also has a speech impediment, which makes sense, right? And a large crowd of people. 4,000 of them, as a matter of fact, that spend 3 days listening to him teach. Up to this point, Jesus has mostly been preaching to the Jews. In fact, in our story, we're going to see that Jesus alludes to the fact that he is there to, first of all, preach to the Jews. But even though his mission is ultimately for Jews first and then for the rest, the full ministry of the gospel will come to the Gentiles, as we read in Acts 10. Here we see it in chapter 7 as just a little shadow where Jesus, again, is not fully committed to sharing the gospel with the Gentiles yet, but he's willing to give us a little preview. And by the way, those Gentiles are you and me, right? Those Gentiles are us. Let's pray. Lord, we would ask as we open up your scripture this morning to see in just seed form this idea that that the gospel message, the kingdom of God, is larger than ethnic Israel, and that will transcend that locality to encompass the whole world. We pray that we would be encouraged by that, to continue to share that gospel in a dark world that needs it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here's just what I want us to talk about this morning. You know, when God's kingdom comes, your king, Jesus, right? He is ready to accept you just as you are, which also means he's ready to accept others just as they are as well. And that is despite your background, Despite your ailment, your sickness, despite any inability you might have, Jesus is ready to accept you. And so let's look at the beginning of verse 24. It says, And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement you may go your way, the demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Now, like I said, Jesus, he leaves Israel. He heads into Gentile territory, seeking at least some relief from the pressure of ministry. He doesn't find it, though. You see that his fame has spread so much that he can't be hidden anywhere, even in the land of the Gentiles. In this account, a Syrophoenician woman finds Jesus and asks him to heal her demon-possessed daughter. Now, in order to understand really what's going on here, we have to understand a few things. This woman, since she's a Syrophoenician woman, is from one of the most pagan places in the area, well known for their abominations. I mean, there's lots of strikes against this woman. She's a woman coming to a man. She's from a country steeped in pagan practices, and she's from a town that's known as one of the worst pagan cities. I mean, just back in chapter 5, think about this. We saw a Jewish rabbi, right? A Jewish leader, Jairus, come, right? He says the same thing. "Please heal my daughter." These two, in Mark's passage here, couldn't be more opposite, right? Here's Jairus and this Syrophoenician woman. You would think Jairus has more standing, and the Lord should answer him. The Syrophoenician woman, not so much. Maybe he should be a little coy with her with this statement. And yet, they both have one thing in common. They've both arrived at a point of desperation. They have no place else to turn, and so they turn to Jesus. Their only hope is in him. Have you come to that point in your life? Ever come to that point in your life, a point of desperation, a point where you know your only hope is that there is a Messiah. And when you hear his name, then you know your only hope is in him. If you have, then how do you expect your Messiah to respond to you when you come to him? How do you want him to respond to you when you come to him? Now, Jesus responds somewhat cryptically, I might say. Some commentators say this is one of the most offensive responses Jesus gives to anyone looking for his help. "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs." Now, we must admit the Jews did not like dogs. They didn't have dogs as pets. Dogs were considered unclean. And in Israel, they did refer to Gentiles as dogs, denoting that they too were unclean. But you know, other nations did keep dogs as pets. Not big dogs like you would see on the streets, but small dogs like you might see in a house today. Mark uses the word dog here. He uses the household pet word for dog here. So that this dog that he's referring to is actually considered part of the family and therefore does get to eat the scraps from the children on the floor. Anyone who's had a dog and children at the same time knows that when dinner time comes, the dog will be sitting at the feet of the children waiting for a few snacks, we might say. This means we should read this statement made by Jesus as pointing really just to the priority of his mission. Not that the Gentiles were excluded, but he was here to speak to the Jews first. He must come to Israel first. We're told in Scripture that salvation will come through the Jews. And I think this is how this woman understands it too. She understands that Jesus' priority is to come to his people first, but that it will spread and will include them. And even though she sees herself as a second priority, she's okay with that as long as she's able to get some of those crumbs. You know, in some ways, her faith is stronger than those in Israel. She seems to have a better understanding of the mission of Christ than the Jews do, certainly than the Pharisees do, maybe even more than the disciples do at times. And for that faith, Christ grants her request. When she arrives home, she finds her daughter in bed. The demon's gone. She's well. I want you to see in this passage that Jesus is ready to accept you wherever you are, whatever your background is. Despite your past or your present, Jesus is ready to accept you and give you a future that includes salvation, a future of freedom, of acceptance. It can be easy to think you're beyond the reach of Jesus. Maybe you know someone who thinks they're beyond the reach of Jesus. That's a lie. And we see that lie exposed here by this pagan woman who comes to Jesus and he's willing to accept her. When God's kingdom comes, your King Jesus, is ready to accept those that will come to him, despite their background, despite your background, despite their infirmities or sickness. Let's pick up our Bibles. We see in verse 31 a deaf man who has a speech impediment. It says, Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is another example of Jesus dealing with someone who's unclean. Right? An unclean Gentile. The man is also desperate for healing. Do you see that? He's desperate. He has no other place to turn. Now, he's not demon-possessed. He's not on the verge of death. But these impediments that he has hold him back from partaking fully in his first century society. He is desperate, and so are his friends. And so they bring him to Jesus. Bring him to be healed. Now, we've seen that Jesus didn't even have to go to that woman's house to heal her daughter. Jesus doesn't have to touch this guy. Jesus doesn't have to take him aside. All Jesus has to do is say, let it be so. And yet, he does take him aside, away from the crowd, touches him in multiple ways, and then commands that things would be opened. The Greek actually says, the chain of his tongue was broken. That's what it says in the Greek. The chain of his tongue was broken. Jesus takes a personal interest in this man. This man is not just another face in the crowd, another problem to be solved or dealt with. He is, for Jesus, a unique individual. A unique individual that deserves the attention of his Savior. And so Jesus takes him aside personally and deals with him. Do you ever feel like you're just a face in the crowd? You know, just a face in the crowd, even at church? I know that might be harder to do here than maybe in a big church, but trust me, there are people that feel like they're just a face in the crowd. Jesus doesn't see you that way. Right? Jesus doesn't see you that way. He takes personal interest in every man, woman, and child, and every disciple, despite their disabilities, and he moves to interact with you personally. You ever thought about that? That Jesus wants to interact with you personally. Do you want to interact with him personally? Do you want to be healed? Are you willing to get personal with Jesus? Is there something holding you back from allowing Jesus to get personal with you? Now, Jesus may not heal us of all of our ailments, but we know he wants us to deal with sin. Is there some sin in your life where Jesus is trying to get personal with you and you're holding back? I would encourage you to remember Jesus does all things well. You see that in the passage? They said Jesus does all things well. He's ready to work to heal you of your infirmities. Go to him. See what he can do. Trust him. His kingdom is here, and since it's here, your King Jesus is ready to accept you. Despite your background, despite your ailments, despite your inabilities. You know, last week we saw Jesus feed 5,000 men. Now that means there was more than 5,000 there, because there certainly would have been women and children with him. This week, we're going to see in a second that he feeds 4,000 people. Some scholars think this is the same story. Some think it's two separate accounts. I believe it's two separate accounts. Now, there are some similarities here in what happens, but there are too many differences to make this the same account. And although Mark doesn't say where the two feedings took place, it seems pretty apparent that the feeding of the 5,000 took place in a deserted area of Israel, and the feeding of the 4,000 here in a deserted area in Gentile territory. Again, Mark is showing us that Jesus, his main ministry, his main objective is to come to the Jews first, but he is willing to give the same message, the same feeding, the same bread of life to the Gentiles as well. Mark chapter 8. Just going to read the first 9 verses. Now, if you're using your pew Bible, I don't know about your other Bibles, you're going to see that I stop right at the end of the paragraph. That's okay. We're going to throw verse 10 in with next week. All right, chapter 8, verse 1. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from far away. And his disciples answered him, how can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? And he asked them, well, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish. The Greek there is really the idea of a sardine. They had a few small sardines. And having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people. And he sent them away. See, I almost wanted to read 10 there. You see that? He sent them away. I don't know if you thought about this as strange, but it should seem, at least to our hearing, that the disciples would ask, how are we supposed to feed this crowd in this desolate place? Didn't they just witness Jesus feeding 5,000, more than 5,000 people somewhere else? Now let's go back in our minds. Jesus is walking on the water after the feeding of the 5,000. He's going to pass by the boat. They see him. They're terrified. Jesus calls out, relax, it's just me. Calms them down, gets in the boat. And we're told in Mark 6:51, the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves. I mean, think about that. They did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. The disciples' hearts were hardened toward who Jesus truly is. and the power he had in feeding the 5,000 and now the 4,000. So it's no wonder they ask the same question. They just haven't gotten it yet, have they? Aren't we just like that? Aren't we just like that? You've got some stuff, some tough stuff going on in your life, and so you pray about it, and hallelujah, the Lord answers. And you know it's the Lord's answer. Things are working out. And then the next struggle comes along, and you think to yourself, what's going to happen now? Should I pray about it? Will God hear me? Will He answer? Will things get better? We are just like the disciples. Our hearts are hard towards the work of the Savior. It's really one of the main ways that we're held back, I think, from growing spiritually, because we're constantly learning the same lesson. Maybe we should call it a short-term memory. It's just a short-term memory problem, right? We just can't quite get past that. As Christians, we need to have a long-term memory about our walk with Christ. And to be honest, it may take some effort to put God's faithful work into our long-term memory banks. I would encourage you as a follower of Jesus to set down markers in your life that you can look back on to remember God's goodness to you. And when things are tough, look back at those markers and be encouraged by God's faithfulness to you. Look back at them, especially when you're sensing your own inability to move things forward. The disciples were right. They couldn't feed these people in this desolate place. They couldn't have fed those people if they were in town. Jesus did, though. Jesus is able to feed them, and they were satisfied. You see that in the text? And they were satisfied. That's another thing to keep in mind. Only Jesus can ultimately satisfy your needs, to heal your inadequacies and the ones and the people around you. You are not going to save anyone, but Jesus can. You know, I think of the things that we tend to think are going to satisfy us. Listen, material stuff is not going to satisfy us. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. Money won't satisfy you. Sex won't satisfy. Drugs won't satisfy. Sin won't satisfy you. R.C. Sproul was saying this week, he said, listen, sin may bring pleasure. Sin may bring pleasure, but it will never bring happiness. I love that statement. Sin will, it may bring pleasure, it may feel good in the moment, but it will never bring happiness. It will never bring satisfaction. Only feeding on the bread of life, feeding on Jesus, only He can satisfy your hungry heart. Well, what should we take away from this week? Well, I think we should take away the fact that our King is ready to accept us wherever we are, despite our background, despite the sin in the past. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about that more as Paul talks about in Philippians, putting away the old and looking towards the new. Maybe Roland will have something to talk about why we should not focus on our past, but focus on our future. The Lord is ready to bring us into a future that includes salvation. Here's another takeaway. You need to be ready for others to come to Jesus too. We need to be ready for others to come to Jesus too. You know, as Gentiles, we weren't the first people group that the Lord Jesus came to. And in our passage, Jesus alludes to that He came for the Jews first. But He also gives a little hint that the Gentiles are going to be grafted in. And of course, we see that in the book of Acts. The problem we could encounter now, though, is we could be like the Jews and not want to let other Gentiles in. Now that we have our place, we might not want others to come in and upset the cart, like the bachelorettes, right? Like the Jews when Jesus was going into the Gentile world, like the apostles or the leaders in Jerusalem when Paul went to the Gentiles, when Peter went there in Acts 10. We can be people who aren't open to new believers, but we should be. Right? We should be wanting that same acceptance that we've experienced by Jesus for those around us, for our family, for our friends, for unbelievers, for our enemies. Right? Even for our enemies, the Gentiles at this time were the enemies of Israel, but Christ went to them. I saw a video testimony this week. It's from a man who is living in Baghdad. That's in Iraq, right? He started searching for meaning during the period of COVID, found a Bible in someone's house, started reading the Gospel of Matthew, set it down for a while, kept hearing this voice saying, read the book, it'll bring you life. Read the book, it'll bring you life. And so he picked the book back up and continued to read Matthew. God opened his eyes and he believed. He's like, how can I be a Christian? So he actually, his testimony is, so I Googled it, how to become a Christian. I was surprised that that answer would come back in Baghdad, but apparently it did. He found a sinner's prayer. He prayed. God saved him. And we should be excited by that. Excited by someone new coming to Christ, to see God at work in our lives and the lives of those around us. There is only one kingdom. There will ever be only one kingdom, God's kingdom, and it's here now. It's growing now. It's ready to be revealed at the last day. Jesus stands ready to accept people into his kingdom, us and those around us, despite backgrounds, despite infirmities, despite inabilities. He's a good God. He's a great God, a loving God, who gave Jesus to us to save us, to bring us into his kingdom. That's the heart of your king. Let's pray. Lord, you are worthy of our praise because of the revelation of your heart for us, for your people, a lost people that need saving. And Lord, what a great saving you've given us in Jesus Christ. So we pray that we would not only be encouraged by that work in our lives, but encouraged to share that work with others, that they too would know the joy of coming to Jesus. We ask it in his name. Amen. Well, let's stand together, grab your hymn books, turn to hymn number 310 as we sing a song that goes right along with the sermon, He is Able to Deliver You. 310, let's stand. Thank you. Hope that heart is. I hope that song is stuck in your heart this afternoon. For your God is not only able to deliver thee, but He is willing, and that is His desire. Hear His blessing as you go. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to deliver thee. Amen.